Since many, many years I had desired to see Lord Jagannath during his Ratha Yatra festival. The devotees had told me that when Lord Jagannath leaves the temple of Puri to go to on procession to the Gundicha Mandir, he is in a very special mood. The devotees had said that when Lord Jagannath leaves the temple, he also leaves his name Jagannath behind. He stops being the Lord of the universe. And he becomes Jagat Bandhu, the friend of the universe. And I wanted to feel that. I wanted to experience it. I wanted to actually meet the Lord in this friendly attitude, because I wanted to experience something in my spiritual life, which I believe is in the minds of all devotees, but which became very dominant in my life. I wanted to experience mercy, causeless mercy, transformative mercy. Today I met two very nice devotees, and I told them that we waited for 6.5 hours for Lord Jagannath to come out of the temple. Left and right, poor people and also a few Western guests lost their consciousness because it was so hot. They had forgotten to bring ample supplies of drinking water. These people had to be carried away by stretchers or on stretchers, and I thought, soon I'm the next. But I also did not want to go away before seeing this transformation of the Lord into the friend of the universe. Then it happened. The gong started in quick succession. First Sudarshan Chakra, then Balaram and Subhadra Devi came out. And then when it was time for Jagannath to come out of the temple, he again didn't come out of the temple. Instead, his mercy came out of the temple. All of a sudden, there was a cool and fragrant breeze, which cooled down all the hot devotees who were suffering from almost heat stroke. And then the fragrance of Malati flowers came out of the temple. It's a very intoxicating fragrance. It's a typical flower which is used in garlands for Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And I hear that Mahaprabhu also sometimes would be dressed by Gadadha with these Malati flowers. Then Gaura Bhavani used to dress the hairstyle of Sadbuja. Then she sometimes put these things. This is a typical ornamentation of Lord Chaitanya, who wears the Malati flowers. So it was so fragrant and so fresh. The mercy came out of the temple first, and then he came. And when he came, I'm still struggling for words. There was an atmosphere of absolute sweetness enveloping all of all the devotees. There was a distinct feeling that I'm now on the cool banks of the river Yamuna. The autumn moon is coming very soon, and that Vrindavan atmosphere this most enchanting atmosphere which immediately attracts our minds to Krishna and frees us from our material conceptions was coming over us. It was a very, very nice experience of the Kripa Shakti, the mercy Shakti of the Lord. I was talking today with a devotee about this concept, mercy, or let me express it in another way, passive spirituality. In this material world, where we have forgotten Krishna, we are very active in trying to solve the different challenges which are there in our lives, financial challenges, partnership challenges, well-being challenges to our well-being, both physical and mental. We are very active to try to challenge this. We have forgotten to wait for mercy. In fact, some of us become highly irritated when they hear that the mercy of Krishna is all they're made of, because the mercy of Krishna is not under our control. In the world, we like to be controllers, although we see we can't, but we cannot give up the concept to worry for ourselves, to work for ourselves, to become active for our own well-being. We cannot turn to the Lord because we feel so insecure. We feel insecure because deep within our hearts we think the Lord has forgotten us. He has given us up, or He doesn't care for us. He's maybe we are not valuable enough for Him, that He should take care of our affairs. Maybe we are useless. Maybe we are... Actually, it's not good to think you are useless. We have learned this from the psychological books which we have read to become more situated in our lives. But still deep in ourselves, we feel... No, the Lord will not take care for us. Devotees feel this very often when they chant. I'm chanting so long, but I don't feel the presence of the Lord. There is a commentary where Jiva Goswami addresses this in Krishna's own words. Krishna says, I once said, Narada, I do not live in Vaikuntha. Does someone of you know the rest of the verse? I do not live in the hearts of the yogis. Then where does he live? Where his devotees chant his glory. So Krishna says, I once said this. I do not live in Vaikuntha, nor in the heart of the yogis. Wherever my devotees are singing my names, that is where I am. Now someone might say, we just sang the names of Krishna. Where was he? Where was he, Anandini?
Here.
Here. Oh, Anandini has some faith. We sometimes say, I'm chanting so long the holy name. Where is Krishna in my life? But Krishna continues in a very sweet way. He says, even though I am wherever my devotees are singing my names, in fulfillment of this promise, I am not visible to them. Then he says, O gopis, this is my behavior towards all my devotees. I come to them invisibly. But don't think it is a sign of my indifference. Indifference heißt Gleichgültigkeit. Now the gopis ask Krishna, Why don't you just make things simple and appear to your devotees when they chant the holy names in a visible form? And Krishna replies, and I'm not doing this in order to increase their longing for me. That longing from which arises ceaseless meditation on me. Ich möchte das nochmal in Deutsch zusammenfassen. Krishna sagt, ich erscheine nicht vor meinen Devotees in einer sichtbaren Form, um beim Chanten ihre Sehnsucht nach mir zu vergrößern. Jene Sehnsucht, die eine ununterbrochene Meditation über mich ermöglicht. Lord Krishna had given the gopis an example to understand the way he was treating them. He said, my dear gopis, if you lose something which is very dear to you, you think all the time about that thing which you have lost. I consider this the greatest blessing in my life. I lost when I was initiated for about 6 years, I believe, I lost my initiation letter, which Prabhupada wrote to me. I had it in my spind. These were times. All our possessions were in one little spind. And one day, a devotee, then I would come every day and I would go in a corner with that letter which Prabhupada wrote to me. And I would read the letter, maybe not every day, every second day, in a corner. And I would feel encouraged in Krishna consciousness. And one day I came to my spind. Spind is a place where you keep your belongings. Locker, thank you. I went to my locker to take out that letter and read it again, but it was not there. And since that time, I have not found the letter. This is a very meaningful letter. It's one of the... Prabhupada wrote 3 letters to me. It's one of the letters. And I want to tell you, this letter meant a lot to me, because in this letter Prabhupada guaranteed that I would go back to Godhead in this life. I don't deserve it. Prabhupada really has invested his mercy in the wrong person. I also don't think it will work, but it's there in black and white. And I'm thinking very often on this letter, because it meant so much to me. So many of you have maybe lost something which is valuable to them, and they might think about it. Maybe some of you have lost your ideals. Now you think of your ideals. Maybe some of you have lost money. I remember I once invested money into something and it was lost, and I remember every month, weekly, I'm sorry, disturbed some devotees around me with my feeling of, I lost this, seems to come back now. But this is human psychology. If you lose something which is dear to you, you think of it always. So this is how Krishna explained his disappearance from the gopis. He wanted to increase their longing for him. So the same thing Krishna does when we chant the holy name. We may have once felt very close to Krishna, Now when we chant, we feel a little his absence. But you should feel like that. The Krishna is listening to you. Krishna is seeing you in his invisible form in order to increase your longings. Don't become faithless, but become more faithful when Krishna is in his invisible form in your life. That's Jiva Goswami. That's the explanation of Jiva Goswami. And I believe you all know the Bhagavatam verses which Jiva Goswami has in mind when he gives this explanation, that sometimes I do not reciprocate the feelings of my devotees, Krishna says, in order to increase their longing. Sometimes devotees say, I don't want Krishna, I want bhakti, love for Krishna. Because you can have Krishna, but if you have no bhakti, you don't see him. Like Duryodhana, he was right in front of Krishna. But he did not, because he had no bhakti, he couldn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it's only through bhakti that Krishna can be seen, not in any other ways. So Krishna sometimes may disappear in our lives to test and to increase our bhakti to him. This is something which is very much on my mind when I'm thinking about the subject matter of passive spirituality or Krishna consciousness, where I acknowledge that things are not under my control any longer. A Krishna consciousness where I acknowledge I can't control my well-being. I cannot control when Krishna appears to me and when he does not appear. I cannot control or give answers to all the questions in my life. A Krishna consciousness where this humble acknowledgement is there. Acknowledgement heißt Erkenntnis, aber auch Bestätigung of our situation as being dependent on Krishna. A Krishna consciousness where you feel this humility and this lack of control is the starting point of real spiritual experiences. But we are afraid to come down to this position of being humbled and being helpless before Krishna. We try to be very active for our well-being in this world. Helplessness or the position of needing to take shelter is something which deep in our hearts is still an area which gives anxiety to our heart. I do remember how my father told me, you know, he is from the generation of Nazi warlords, where he told me how terrible it was when they had to surrender, I don't know, either to the Englishmen or the Russians or all together, you know, and how they had to put on the white flag and just surrender into their lives, into the hands of of someone else. It was not very nice. And it may be that this fear has genetically entered my heart, but I know only when I come to the position where I acknowledge there's no other shelter than Krishna, the spiritual life can start in earnestness, because then Krishna is very much willing to give his transcendental mercy. Do you know that a powerful king became convinced that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna just on this point, just due to this point? See, at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, it was ruled by Maharaj Puri, was ruled by Maharaj Prataparudra, and I heard politically his kingdom was much larger than the present day Orissa is. The borders went up to South India, Vidyanagar was in it, the jewel of the south. It was a very, very huge empire, which was ruled by Maharaj Prataparudra. Then, Maharaj Prataparudra asked his scholar, his Hofgelehrte, Sarvabhauma, I've heard about this sannyasi who draws an increasing number of followers. Can you say something about him? I have heard he dances and he sometimes loses his consciousness. I have heard that some people tell that he is Krishna who has appeared. Who is he? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya smiled and said, O king, he's none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared in Kali Yuga to distribute what no other avatar has so far given, ecstatic prema. Prataparudra said, you are a very great scholar. Before, you have never said that there is an incarnation in Kali Yuga, an incarnation of God, and that he is now here in our town, in the town of Puri. I mean, Jagannath is God. Now, well, he is the same as Jagannath. Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma. I had heard reports that you have also become influenced by the singing and dancing. You used to be such a good scholar. Don't be an emotionalist. Prataparudra couldn't believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. Now, Mahaprabhu left Puri at one stage to start his South India tour. I think we all know. And different reports from his journey used to come back to the town of Puri and people started to talk. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? You would hear a lot of talk about Mahaprabhu during that time. And there was one event which I heard, maybe one of many events, which convinced Maharaj Prataparudra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indeed is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I believe he must have also gotten some mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it is said you cannot understand Gauranga Mahaprabhu without the mercy of Nityananda and Chaitanya. You need mercy to really understand. Anyways, what he heard was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Kumakshetra at the house of one Brahmana. And then, as he was accustomed to, left the house at around 7 o'clock in the morning one day. I mean, he stayed for a week or so. I don't know exactly how long, but for a number of days. And then he started his journey one day at 7 o'clock. Now, one leper in Deutsch ist ein Lepröser oder in etwas verständlicherem Deutsch ein Leprakranker, called Vasudev, had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was from a neighboring village, and that day when Mahaprabhu left, Vasudev had actually started his journey to Kumakshetra to meet Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with the disease leprosy. Is it, what is it? Leprosy. I don't want to go too much into the details, but I've done some studies because I'm interested in many things. And it's a disease which starts attacking the extremities of your limbs, that is the fingers and the toes, and they virtually melt away, and then it gets to other extremities like the ears and the nose until you are dead. It's a very, very painful disease, because really the whole body just seems to melt away like wax. It's painful, like anything, to walk and so on. So only under great, great, great pain. I forgot to say, and it was considered incurable at that time. I think even now, I don't know how far the leper, you can treat and cure leprosy by now, isn't it?
Yes, you can stop it.
What is gone is gone. Yeah, you can stop it. At that time, the way these people were dealt with is, they were requested, or they voluntarily went to the edge of town to not infect people who lived in the town. Somewhat like it was done in the medieval times here in Europe. I know in Assisi there was a leper colony at Francisco's times. Anyways, so it was a very, very terrible disease. It was a very... Oh, maybe there were some remedies to stop it, but it was just so terrible because it was so painful and it was so highly infectious at that time. That's what I heard. So, under great, great pain, almost every step, Vasudev had to fight. He moved to Komachetra. He was a good devotee of the Lord. When worms would fall out, there were worms in his open wounds, so it was already quite advanced. It was in his body everywhere. And if they would fall out, when he would dance in ecstasy, when he would chant, hurry, hurry, then he would take back the worms and place them into the wounds of his body, thinking, my body is so useless, I cannot perform any service. Let me at least do some service to the poor worms. That was his thinking. I can't do any seva to my Lord. I can't cook for him and so on. So the worms, I will do some service for them. That was his feeling. We have one Vasudev amongst us. Amazing, isn't it? How he thought. So much compassion. Then Mahaprabhu, so then he came to Komachetra after Mahaprabhu has left. And when he heard Mahaprabhu had left, he just swooned on, cried, no, 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 no. And his consciousness left his pained body. Prabhus, we can't imagine what is such pain. We may be very disturbed when we have dental pain, toothaches and the like. But Vasudev's pain was inexpressible in words, and there were no painkillers which he took. So when Mahaprabhu became aware, because he is the super soul of all, that a devotee had come to see him, but he came too late, Mahaprabhu decided to spontaneously appear before this devotee. Mahaprabhu would do this when his devotees would do kirtans thousands of miles away. He would sometimes spontaneously appear in their kirtans and chant within the kirtans. So here he appeared for one devotee, Vasudev, the leper. And when he saw him, yeah, what did he do, said Prataparudra? How was the meeting between the two? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you mean he appeared? Yes, said the person who did this report. He appeared before him. And what did he do? Tell me, I'm quite interested. Well, Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudev the leper. And when he did it, he gave him a new body. You mean he embraced him? Yes, King. He embraced him. I mean, he put his arms around him and pressed him to his chest. Is this what he did? Yes, this is a report we got. Oh, said Prataparudra. I have heard of different healers who have held a leper, sagt man held, healed, who have healed leprosy. I have never heard of anyone who embraced what is usually one's sure death. By this I can understand he is extremely merciful. Prataparudra heard this, and his mind became fixed on this aspect, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, when Mahaprabhu had returned, the king wanted to see him, but Mahaprabhu had said he would not see a king. So at that time, Maharaj Prataparudra prayed this one prayer: "You are the all merciful. Should everyone in the world, including a leper, get your mercy, but not this poor Gajapati?" Gajapati is the dynasty of kings. It's called like this. And it also is a play with words, because once Krishna saved the elephant, Gaja means elephant, Gajendra. So should he not save again the king of the elephant dynasty? He has already saved one elephant. Why not another one? Was this quality of mercy? I totally am convinced, after visiting Lord Jagannath in Puri and experiencing his mercy, that our spiritual life, especially in the West, requires a very serious investigation of how much we are willing to count on mercy. How much are we willing to step before the Lord and pray in a helpless condition where we do not take other shelters anymore so seriously and ask him for mercy? Maharaj Prataparudra did so after he had heard the incredible mercy which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vasudev the leper. You know, when Mahaprabhu embraced the leper, Vasudev obtained a new body. All his diseases went, and he got a fully intact spiritual body, a spiritualized body. Why don't we also pray to be embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Vaishnava literature, this is an often reoccurring theme, to sincerely beg for the mercy of Krishna. Would like to now read a little on this subject from Prabhupada, and then I will just say something else. As a student of Krishna consciousness, says Prabhupada, must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then his devotional service will quickly succeed. This was the case with King Prataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. At first, Maharaj Prataparudra did not have a chance to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Maharaj Prataparudra, in the dress of a Vaishnava, was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and embraced him. Even a little of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy serves as a great asset, as it has Guthaben, for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement must be spread through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga, except for the devotees in Goloka Dham. Abenteuer. Oh, sorry. I'm not sure if I have really read this with full attention. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga, except for Manisha. Oh, this is also not there. Let me try again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga, except for Marion and Martin. No. That doesn't sound right. There must be a different wording. Let me try again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga. Punkt. Devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become fit to return home back to Godhead. My dear devotees, could it be that we do everything in our spiritual life except for looking for mercy? Could it maybe be that we think of everything in our spiritual life except for calling out to get mercy? Could it be that we do our sadhana and don't think of blessings as the most active principle in our spiritual life? Could it be that we are absolutely active for solving the problems of our lives, except for, and we forget to turn to Krishna? Could this maybe be? I want to close with one very, very nice, well, with an attempt to write about this. Mm-hmm. There's a little story. You know, I'm trying to write, although my writing is terrible. But here is another attempt. And I think this was a good attempt. Once a disciple came to his guru complaining, "Holy Master, according as I am able, so gut wie ich kann, I keep my little practice, chanting, praying, reading, and the few rules. And according as I am able, I endeavor to clean my heart. But often I feel so dry, so mechanic. I seem to get nowhere. Tell me, what more should I do?" The elderly guru rose up, bang, and replied, his face lighting up with enthusiasm. "Why not be totally changed to fire? If you wish to enter the fire of God's presence, you will have to become fire." A little sparkle, funkeln, appeared in his green eyes. It is this ability of the living entity to access the volcanic energy of the soul deep inside, which is the Lord's greatest and most merciful gift. Then the old monk started to dance and move towards the stream which was flowing before his little cottage. He motioned to his disciple, "Come, follow me. Look in the stream. It follows his call to reach the mighty ocean forever. It does not accept any hindrance. Let our attraction constantly be drawn unto the Lord in the same way, without being diverted to anything else." By now the eyes of the old teacher had become like stars. Also, es wird richtig enthusiastisch, wie ihr merkt. "Today I think of Jagai and Madai of ancient times, who were spiritually dead. Look what happened when they joined Lord Chaitanya's kirtan after having been pardoned for their grave mistakes. Oh, they were on fire in that dance of ecstasy. They became a twirling delight. Something old had entirely left them, and something new had been breathed into them. They could feel the ecstasy and the swelling of the spirit inside. Even the god of death swooned in pleasure, witnessing what happened. And powerful Brahma and Shiva danced ecstatically, almost losing their clothes." Now the saint's eyes were like the sun and the moon. "Oh, I think of that festival we had here in the forest last autumn, when the Kartik moon rose, how we chanted the holy names, and how that old dried-up hermit joined the activities and danced with that frustrated Hare Krishna man in wild abundance. The monk became silent. He looked for a long time at his disciple. "Dear, let us not miss the point. Bhakti is all about love. Love of God. This love hides, waiting to be unveiled. It hides in the holy name. Then he became silent once again and took up his chanting beads. There was no need to speak more. Tears began gliding down his cheeks as he became immersed in the nectar of the holy names. Tears that washed away all remaining doubts of his disciple. Hare Krishna. So, what do I want to express in this little lecture? I wanted to talk a little bit from my own heart. I had an overwhelming experience which I needed in my spiritual life to go on and come to the next realizations which are necessary. An experience of Lord Jagannath's mercy. I was even allowed to climb the cart of Lord Jagannath and embrace him. I told yesterday Gadadhar that I was sitting before the cart at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I saw a resistance building up in my heart. I said, "Oh, I really don't have to get up there. First of all, it's really an adventure, like climbing Mount Everest without oxygen mask to get up on these carts. It's really intense. Second of all, they might not let you go through because you are a white man. And third, and that was my main reservations. I felt I'm not that person who believes in this anfas spirituality. I don't really know how to say it in the spirituality where you want to have your proof for your by grabbing something, you know, touching this and touching that. I said, I sit here before the cards, I look at Jagannath, and if I want to come close, I turn my mind into a bee and fly as close as I want. With the mind, we can do everything, no? But if the Lord gives a sign to me, that might change everything. Then Radhanath Maharaj and others went on the cart, and I said, yes, they are believing that this is important for them. Let them go. I will sit here. Then all of a sudden one panda came who was very friendly to me. Ram Kumar Panda, please, if you are in Puri, find him. He will do, most probably he will smuggle you into the temple. He likes devotees so much. And he just said, come on the cart. Nun sieht das ja ganz anders aus. So I climbed on the cart, this Pankajangri and Jananivas, the two twins. When Jananivas came close to the Daddy, he started to cry uncontrollable tears. I thought, how nice for him. He is very advanced, and his heart is much softer than anyone else. Then I came through a little Schallmauer, a little, you know, I think it was 3 meters before the day, so four. And I felt also so blissful all of a sudden. And then I just somehow or other struggled my way through and embraced the lotus feet of the Lord. And I could see, despite my doubts, initial doubts, anfängliche Zweifel, that all of a sudden something came into my heart, which I had observed in Jananivas, but I thought, well, he is a pujari, and he's anyways very advanced. I'm nothing in comparison to this very advanced Vaishnava. He has more spiritual sensitivity. But all of a sudden, that that tremendous experience of Krishna consciousness came. It was a feeling of great love, which totally took possession of my thinking. In other words, there was nothing else left in the thinking. But it was not a conscious directing of the thoughts. It was a being overwhelmed. And very difficult to describe. It felt also as being lifted out of the body, body and mind. In other words, there was no connection to the persona which I'm using to go through this world any longer. There was also no remembrance of it, just no connection. And I said to the devotees with whom I spoke today, I don't know if I should even try to put it in words, but I just want to give you some idea. Maybe the best idea is, for 2 hours I couldn't speak afterwards. I was just someone else, a blissful devotee of Krishna. And I saw, when I climbed down from the last cart, I saw Bhakti Charu Maharaj standing there, preaching to, I don't know whom, it looked like an Indian film star. And he saw me. Oh, Satchidananda Swami. And I just laughed at him and said, I don't know if I could speak. All I know is, in my heart I felt, why is he preaching and not embracing Lord Balaram? I felt this in my heart. He's wasting his human form of life. I felt like that. And I just said, I couldn't speak and I don't remember anything. I just looked at him and I said, get on the cart. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who never follows me, I mean, we are good friends, but all I knew, the next thing is, he took his dhoti like this, and he needed, you know, to get on the cart, you need to jump high, then you need to, like an athlete, catch something, and then you need to have some experience in rectum. And then, I don't know how to get on the cart, but the Lord succeeded. Later, in the evening, they made stairs for people to get up, but we were sucked up, you know, Ufer in Führung. And I met him in Switzerland. I said, Maharaj, how do you, what happened? And he said, I don't know, you just came and you were so blissful and you laughed, and the next moment I was on the car. It was just very nice. So having experienced a little of the mercy of the Lord, and once again, I discussed this many years ago, Gadara put the Spiegel before me. What do you have to say now? The Spiegel said, scientists have found the God hormone, goddess hormone, that chemical thing, biological thing, which is responsible for religious feelings and experiences. And we discussed about it, and I told him, this was certainly not induced by the God hormone, this realization, because I didn't expect it, I was a little skeptical, and in a polite way. I mean, I won't criticize my God brothers, you know, that's not befitting my spiritual position, but I was like this, and it came over me, the causeless mercy. And from this I want to remind you, my dear devotees, think of this, you know, giving up the control and surrendering to Krishna. You will find out your spiritual life will start at that moment. Or let me say it in a not so provocative way, you will see that your spiritual life will get a new boost, and a neuen impetus, a neuen Anstoß, and so on. Hare Krishna. Let me see if I have something else, but I rather take questions. Yes, I could take. So I want to end here. Oops. Want to end here and see if you have any questions, things you would like to know in regards to what we discussed, or in regards to any other subject which is important to your heart. Gaura Hari.
In the beginning you mentioned how Lord Krishna remained invisible to the call of his devotee to increase the longing of the devotees. Now it looks that's for already quite advanced devotee. I mean, if I see for my situation or on neophyte stage, when the Lord is not visible, there is not really longing developing. That's like normal. I mean, that do not increase actually so much the longing in my situation. And
why
how can I make this this together? How can I use that to help me?
Well, the Lord has given a promise that he will appear where his devotees chant his holy name. So you can feel that he is visible there, that he's there, present there. It's almost like this. I was thinking about this. Have you ever experienced the time just before a very dear person is coming to you and visiting you? You know, well, he has said he will come at 3 o'clock or whatever, and he must be now just before the door. And have you seen the shift of the consciousness which takes place? Normally what you become more active, you have a lot of energy to put order in your house, in your room. I know, sometimes devotees tell me, Sachinanda Swami, your visits are very good for us because that's the only time when we mal aufräumen. That is, I believe, natural. This is the natural psychology, you know. So if you feel like this in relationship to your to Krishna, he said he's there. He comes, and you expect him, and as you expect him, you will find tremendous strength in your life to put order in your life. But see, the problem is we never expect Krishna. We rechnen nicht mit ihm. We don't count on him any longer. We are modern Hare Krishnas, people. Frittiert in our own conception of realism. Then he does never come. I know from the Japa retreats which we do that when you can expect Krishna, it's called thinking of Krishna with a feeling of sambandha, that I have a relationship with Krishna. Then Krishna is very, very often in the chanting present, and you feel you find new energy for chanting. You must have this expectant mentality that Krishna comes in. If I chant his holy names, he is attracted first he comes like and stays a little at a distance. He watches you as you then chant more and more intensely calling for him. Then he comes. This is Sanatana Goswami's advice to all chanters. And he says we should, they should be like chataki birds who in the summer chant that the clouds come. I don't know if you did it. Before I came to Golokadham, I heard it's very hot. I said to the Lord, please, I can't. I was in Puri. It was too hot. I was in Golokadham, what is it, summer camp in Croatia. It was too hot. I was in Switzerland. It was so hot that I had fever in the body. If it's now too hot in Golokadham, can you not send some rain clouds? Then I heard from Damodar Priya, the moment I arrived, the rain clouds came. I don't think it was. I think Krishna saw, he is a fallen soul who prayed for rain clouds. And it came. I was very amazed. I heard it was very hot, but the Ratna told me it was so hot that the lawn became brown. Yeah. So this is, I always do the wrong things. I should chant like this, not for rain clouds, but for Krishna. This is how we should long for Krishna. And he will come. But if we never do this, if we think this is not for me, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how Shraddha starts, faith. This is a very good point. But in the collection of essays called Bhakti Viveka, he said the conditioned soul thinks, alas means obey. I tried to get a grip on my life for so much, for so long, but I see it's not possible. I'm under the laws of nature which inflict miseries on me. Now, in great helplessness, I sit here. And I turn to you, my Lord. This is how faith, which is the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, starts. And you all had this. See, I'm a preacher. I know. When I preach, I only look for that moment in the conditioned soul. That the conditioned soul turns and says, I now want to master my life or do my life with Krishna. That's the entry into Krishna consciousness. Let me describe to you a typical letter which I just got 1 week ago. It's about from a very highly talented person. I've been preaching to the person for few times. And here comes the letter. It says literally like this, Gaurahari. I thought I could do everything in my life. On my own, I've studied, I've done this, I've done that. And it's a highly successful person. The person is also not extremely, it's not frustrated. It's still after the lecture, I will give you the name. I don't want that the name is on the tape and the person is maybe embarrassed. You know the person also. But I have seen, I cannot go further. I cannot go, I will always remain in material consciousness. I don't surrender now to Krishna, and I'm surrendering now. I'm ready. And this is the first step which brings you to Shraddha. And from Shraddha you go into devotional association. Then you come to Bhajana Kriya, spiritual practice. Then you come to freedom from anattas. But the Hare Krishnas all forget about this step. Hare Krishna. Too much knowledge, but losing the essence out of the mind. I'm sorry, I'm trying to say this. I know you are very highly advanced devotees, but I'm trying, you know, I'm only giving 1 or 2 lectures, so you should say something which you will not forget. And what the conditioned soul does not forget is when he is personally criticized, that everything else he forgets. So that's my technique this evening. But I know it's not as bad as I say. I just want to make a point. Being preaching for 35 years in the movement and to you, I know what works and what does not work. Hare Krishna. It was funny that in Jagannath Puri I was brought back to the beginning of my spiritual life. And at the same time, please let us not forget the holistic picture of Krishna consciousness. If you learn to look properly, Krishna consciousness is everywhere, in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. You just have to see it. And that's why Prabhupada answered to a new devotee, how long does it need to become Krishna conscious? How long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, 1 second. Yes, 1 second. Because everything is there in the first thing. You just need to see it in the Hare Krishna mind, in everything. It's a holistic picture. But of course, we need to wake up. That is known. So when I talk today about mercy and the need of mercy, how Maharaj Prataparudra got convinced that when he saw the tremendous mercy of Mahaprabhu, how Srila Prabhupada said, we should go through Mahaprabhu to enter Krishna consciousness. I'm thinking in my mind that to share something which is very valuable for me with you, and I'm thinking, of course you have heard it, of course you are aware of it, but maybe with this presentation, if you take it a little seriously, you will become more aware of it, and then Krishna, that 1 second there. This an answer to your question. This, you know, how Shraddha begins. You have to expect, when you surrender to Krishna, you give your life to Krishna. Everyone to whom I preached, who's sitting here, I was just looking for that little spark of Shraddha. That is my only technique. I was not doing anything because I'm not a powerful devotee. I was just looking. When is it starting? And when it started, it was almost as if a volcanic energy which had rested deep in the soul was accessed and came out and became visible. And, you know, when you do have the Shraddha in Krishna, faith in Krishna, that he is there, and so on, you will see Gaura Hari. Everything else comes from there. Of course, the Shraddha undergoes transformations, and it's meant to become Nishta, steady. It's always there, morning to evening, not just sometimes. Once Mahaprabhu was asked, Mahaprabhu, why do some devotees make so much advancement in a brief time and others not? Mahaprabhu answered, it's a question of their faith. Faith comes faith comes in many different ways. Prabhupada once said the Bhagavatam is spoken by the great souls to instill faith in us. The Bhagavatam is the faith-giving scripture. I read today the last verse of the Bhagavatam, which said that great kings who heard the Bhagavatam gave up their kingdoms to go to the forests and look for Krishna. They got the faith. It's the last verse of the Bhagavatam. It's about faith. Just read it somehow. No, not the last verse. The last verse of the 10th canto. I'm sorry, not of the whole Bhagavatam. The last verse of the Bhagavatam is about chanting the holy names. And there's some other thought in my mind. I chant like this now, where I know this, you know. It's actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the same thing as Deepa Goswami. It's amazing. Very often they say they have different perspectives, but here, those souls who worship me through Naam Kirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. O gopis who cannot understand my real intention, not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, everything I've done has been useless because I'm an offender. Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion, full of power and brilliance. You should think, alas, alas, I'm chanting, it's dry. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm chanting 64 rounds. What a counting game. You know, children, they have these little things. Madhava Priya and Vasudev, you have given your children these things. You give them little beads, they are on these things, you know. Usually 10 beads. Yeah. 5 are one color, 5 are another color. And then you go, chik, 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 and you count. Oh, what a counting game. Hare Krishna. So the devotee feels like this. And then, by this feeling, Krishna comes. This is, and Jiva Goswami also says, when a devotee has not yet attained love of God, he feels, why? Oh no, I'm damned, I'm cursed, I'm this. And by this feeling of humility, Krishna becomes attracted to him. So instead of becoming frustrated and leaving Krishna and leaving our 16 rounds as something which we don't do any longer, we actually feel humble. Ah, it may not. Something is not yet right in my heart, and by this humility, Krishna comes in our life and is visible. Wonderful point, isn't it? This is wonderful. This is a point of bhakti. Everything goes so quick into the right direction. When we go into this right direction, Hare Krishna. So I want to end here. I want to